But first, Albert Nirenberg. He's a Canadian filmmaker who produces documentaries about ordinary things hiding in plain sight. Things we take for granted, like stupidity and laughter. He's made films about both, as well as founding the World Stupidity Awards and Laughter Parties. Doug Gordon got a taste of his latest obsession, boredom.
We really don't know what boredom is, but maybe we should.
The film tries to challenge the conventional view of what boredom is. And the conventional view is that it's a trivial nuisance. Nobody really likes it, but it's not harmful. That's not true. Basically, you know, a bunch of scientists were doing MRI scans of people's brains, and I guess they created situations that bored them. And they noticed that, contrary to what you might expect, you think that when bored people, when you look at them, they look sleepy. You think, oh, they're slowing down. The people that scanned these people's brains were shocked to discover that quite the opposite was taking place. Their brains were actually speeding up the moment they became bored. That was the first sort of weird thing. The second thing was a study at the University of Waterloo did very elaborate tests based on people watching a movie with people putting up laundry. And they came to a fairly shocking result that at this sort of pivotal moment, as people tune out and get bored, their cortisol levels jump, which is the stress hormone, and their heartbeat accelerates. The heartbeat acceleration is minor, but it's probably interesting. But it's the cortisol jump, which is intriguing, and that absolutely makes sense. What it's basically saying is that boredom is not a trivial, annoying, superficial state. It's actually a hidden state of stress.
Wow.
Over time, it may be a hidden state of major stress. There's some evidence that being bored chronically will increase your risk of dying younger.
So we can actually die of boredom. There's that old expression of is bored to death. That can actually, in some cases, be true?
According to a British study, absolutely true. The only thing, it's one of these mass studies where they took thousands of people, and then they did the data afterwards, I think after some of the people may have been dead. So basically, it was a study of civil servants, a statistical study where one of the questions happened to be, are you bored in your life? And if the people answered yes to that question, they then looked at their mortality rate, and they discovered that there was a shocking difference in the mortality rate for people who reported that they were bored and people who didn't. It doesn't stand up to, let's say, the kind of science you might want in this situation where you would go and revisit these people and find out if that really was the factor.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, a study of thousands of British civil servants suggested that people who reported that they were bored died earlier than people who didn't.
Did you experience stress when you were bored?
Absolutely.
Not only was I bored, but I was stressed. And I was stressed about being bored. Which was even more stressful because boredom is a kind of stress, which altogether was super stressful.
I think it's also damaging to integrity. That's one of the things that is interesting about boredom. It's sort of soul-destroying because if you kind of have a plan about what you want to do and what you want to be and what you want to react to in that environment, if you start getting bored, kind of everything goes out the window. And that's something that we know very well in addiction research because one of the key factors in a relapse with people that have addictions is boredom.
Boredom, I think, is my number one enemy. I need to find out something to keep me from getting bored, because if I get bored, I feel like I'm gonna have to use something. 90% of the people here have all agree that boredom, what are they gonna do when they go home and they're bored? Because then your brain starts thinking, hey, you know, when I was bored before, I went and snorted a pill, or I went and smoked some crystal meth, went to a bar and got drunk. So I think a lot of the people here, whether they like to admit it or not, boredom is one of the number one keys.
You make the case in your film that compulsory education starting in grade school is actually an unintentional boring machine, a place that manufactures boredom. Can you talk a bit about that?
I guess the debate is it on purpose? Is it by accident? What the film says, which I think is fresh, is that what is tragic in our system is that people quickly assume that the problem is the teaching. It's the subject material. It is the things that are taught. And the twist in the film is that I believe that as long as you have a sedentary culture, meaning everyone's just sitting around, then you get boredom. In fact, it doesn't matter if you had possibly the most interesting class or subject or curriculum, that if everyone is sitting and sedentary all day long, you get boredom. That's just the way it is.
In the film, you talk about what new science has discovered about sedentary culture in terms of the damages it can cause, the illnesses. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, other people are saying this, but when you add it up, it is shocking. I think the Mayo Institute put it all together, but basically they're tying chronic sedentary behavior to 35 chronic illnesses, including heart disease, diabetes, obesity, obviously, depression. It's all tied to the obsession with sedentary behavior, which actually, this is the key thing, starts in school. It's true that computers do it to us. It's true that television does it to us, but it is the school system which essentially trains kids to be sedentary. I can say categorically, without exaggeration, that probably the number one health threat to children is the education system. It's the system that trains people to be sedentary blobs. There's new research that shows even when you compensate, this is the scary part. Let's say you're sedentary for 8 hours a day because you're at school or at work. You compensate by going to the gym and working out. Apparently, it doesn't undo the damage that you did by sitting around. It's scary stuff.
Yeah. There's something else interesting. Sandy Mann, professor of psychology at the University of Central Lancashire, makes an interesting point.
We're more bored than ever before, and this is the kind of the paradox. We have more things to entertain us than ever before.
Her claim, and I agree, is that we're living in a time right now where Apple computer would tell us that they have helped destroy boredom, because now next time you're in a bank lineup or any kind of lineup, you can whip out your iPhone and you can get on Facebook and text people, you know, or look up some information, whatever you might do. And I actually think that's true and that is good. I think it's good that you can do that. What is scary is that screens, computer screens, again, the neuroscience is, in this case, is what makes things intriguing, because you kind of have this feeling, but you can't really understand it until you look a little deeper at the science. What they discovered, and I found this is amazing, is that screens by their very nature, and I'm talking about iPhone screens, computer screens, iPad screens, that kind of thing, and even movie screens or the outdoor screens you see in Times Square, those screens, because of their flashing bright nature, they actually hack into the part of our brain that looks for fascinating things, like, for example, water sources. Water in the distance flickers, and it may explain why we are fascinated by diamonds. Diamonds look like flickering water. And to a certain extent, that's what screens do too. They kind of flicker. They also, in a sense, create a sense of novelty. Because we know that the screen has the ability to change and morph into other things, when we look at a screen, we think there's always something new going on. So it doesn't matter that you might be looking at the same old Facebook page or the same old website, but your brain is fooled into thinking something new is always happening on the screen. And that's why people can sit sometimes at a computer and 6 hours will go by and they will not realize that all that time went by and they really weren't doing anything. The conclusion of this film, Boredom, is that is America today. America today is a guy or a woman sitting in front of a computer feeling like he's had a vast range of new, intriguing, novel experiences as he whips through the internet. Pull back, and what you really see is a guy who's probably slightly obese sitting in his underpants. That's America. By the way, I'm not in my underpants right now.
Okay,
by the
good.
Way.
Plus, you're not American. I'm Canadian as well, so, and I'm here down in America, but I am not in my underpants. I'm quite well-dressed, I must say, especially for radio.
By the way, I don't mean to pick on America. I would say it's Canada, too. It's everywhere in the industrialized world. It's just that America's emblematic of everything, so we might as well make it emblematic of this phenomenon, too.
Yeah, that makes sense. Have you discovered a cure for boredom?
Basically, they found out that you shouldn't do anything for longer than 90 minutes. So if you're sitting at a computer and you realize you've been there like 2 hours, it's time to get up and do something else. After 90 minutes, you actually are far less effective. You're generally not enjoying yourself, and you're not really actually getting the job done. So it's a good idea to go outside, have a walk, maybe do some exercise, jump around.
Get out of that chair, the sedentary culture.
Stand up, you.
Yeah.
We're talking to you. One of these side effects of our screen sedentary culture is we mistakenly think that real experience is kind of boring, but it really is not. You never get tired of a nice walk in a nice park.
Still, you shouldn't do that for 90 minutes either, right?
That's right. In terms of class time, they're finding out that the average attention span is only best for about 22 minutes. But that kind of makes sense. Classes should maybe be 22 minutes long. You would not get bored, mostly, if you were able to stand up once in a while and your classes were 22 minutes long.
Sure, be easier to focus. Do you think that we can ever eliminate boredom in our lifetime? Or are we stuck with it?
No, we actually don't want to eliminate boredom because there's a whole other side. There's a very positive side to boredom. Philosophical boredom, I might argue, is kind of harmless, meaning the feeling that you should do something with your life or with your existence is not a bad thing. Chronic industrial boredom that you might experience working at a boring job or sitting in a classroom with a dreary teacher, that's something else. That, I think, should be questioned and in some cases should be made illegal. I think there's some teachers and professors that should be jailed for bore crimes.
bore crimes tribunals. Yeah, there's a whole industry here.
If anybody wants to set up a bore crime tribunal, I'm there.
Yeah, absolutely. They got to pay you royalties.
That's right.
Albert Nirenberg is the director of the documentary Boredom. He spoke with Doug Gordon.